Welcome to the Way of the Womb podcast. My name is Beck, I'm your host, and I'm a trauma-informed holistic birthing doula, womb worker, and earth lover. I am here to support you and all womb owners, whether that's through your monthly cycles and navigating the everyday, or whether that's to support your journey through the rite of passage of pregnancy and birth. My passion is to support souls to come home to themselves, so you can connect back to your innate power, your intuition, and the wisdom of your body, so you can feel empowered and live your truth. On this platform, we will be discussing periods, pregnancy, plant medicine, birth, trauma, mental health, spirituality, earth to body connection, and everything in between. This is a place for conscious souls to gather, so that together we can heal, thrive, and live authentically, unapologetically as ourselves. This is the Way of the Womb podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Today I have with me the amazing Lynette, who is also well known as the Spiritual Femme on Instagram and social media. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm so excited to chat.
Thank you for having me. Me too. Oh my gosh, we've been connecting for the past few weeks and I'm just like, I'm so buzzing for this, honestly.
The last few weeks, but I've also been in your watching you grow and evolve for so long. Oh, it's so good. So good. We have a lot of, I guess, mutual friends or mutual coaches that are also, everything's kind of intertwined within the community space. So it's really beautiful.
And yet we haven't ever like fully connected deeply like this. So that's what I'm really excited about. I'm like, we've been like in the same sisterhood and kind of dipping into each other's communities, but then here we are like properly connecting and having this conversation. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too. So you guys are seeing the first deep dive into exploring and having a deep conversation about all the things. So really grateful for you to be being here. So thank you. And I wanted just to start off, if you wanted to share a little bit about you, what it is you do in the world, and a little bit about yourself.
Oh, the big scary question. Who are you and what do you do? I'll try. So I'm Lynette and I am a 27-year-old woman living in the Netherlands, born and raised. And I am, like you mentioned, the founder of The Spiritual Feminist or The Spiritual Femme on Instagram. But it all kind of goes under the same umbrella, which is a platform for women who seek sisterhood, inspiration in spirituality, self-development, and empowerment. And I started this platform in early 2019 from a place of like, I felt like for myself at that point, it was actually, it's funny because it's not that long ago, but it was such a different world online than it is now after like post-pandemic, if we can even talk of a post-pandemic. At that point I was like, there is no safe space for me truly to express like my journey and to talk about my journey of intuition and healing trauma and femininity and empowerment. And I just didn't really see those intersections of spirituality and feminism like very openly out there. And I was like, well, you know, this is the Aries, I'm an Aries sun and a Leo rising. So this is like the fire within me being like, well, if I can't find it, I'll just start it myself.
I love it. That passion. Yes.
Yes, exactly. So I was like, I'm going to create the safe space because I was like, if I can't find that safe space, then other women may also not be finding that safe space. So that's kind of why I started the platform. And I, at the start, didn't really even give it that much thought, which in hindsight was just because it was such an intuitive hit of like, I think you should be doing this. And as part of that platform, I offer so many things, but first and foremost, you know, I've grown into being an intuitive mentor and energy healer, meaning that I hope to guide women in a holistic way back to themselves, back to their feminine essence, back to their wild woman, which is something I talk about a lot, that beautiful archetype of wild woman and everything that she embodies and, you know, how we can access that within. So that's a bit about me, I guess. And I'm also a yoga teacher. I teach yoga here in town, which is very exciting. We can do that now again. And overall, I'm just so passionate about creating a life that is meaningful and deeper than what we're offered. Most of us are offered when, you know, we're born and we step into this patriarchal world. There's so much more out there. There's also so much more within us than we realize, and then that's offered to us. So that is truly what I'm passionate about. And I hope to really bring that into the world through various mediums.
I love that so much. And I really feel that. And when I watch you and experience you expressing yourself and doing everything you're doing on social media and on your platform, you can just tell that it's really coming from this like authentic, open heart space. And before we started talking about, before we started recording, we actually spoke a little bit about our family witnessing us online. And it's, you know, to be witnessed in that way and having that passion, that fire lit within you to go, no, actually, this is what I need. And I need this space, because also if you're seeking it, then other women are 100%.
And don't ever think, like, you know, it's so easy now to kind of say that in a few lines of like, this is what I do and this is what I stand for. But it's exactly like you say, with like family watching you or people around you watching you have a certain idea of who you are and what you're meant to be doing. You know, it's not an easy path, and I never want to come across like stating that it is, because I've definitely experienced and still experience so many things that come on my path where it's like, you know, you have that choice of like, what are you going to pick? Like, are you going to pick your mind and like all these limiting things that it's telling you, or are you going to pick your heart? And like, it is a commitment, you know, it's a commitment being a spiritual feminist in this world, however you want to label that, or however you want to feel into its meaning of that label for yourself. But it is a commitment, and it's not always an easy one. I will tell you that.
No, 100%. I really feel that. And I remember when I worked with Sarah Coxon, when I worked with her doing coaching, I remember her saying, your business will be the biggest healing journey you ever go on. I remember thinking, well, I'm just going to show up and be like, hi, buy this, and then people are going to buy it, and it's just going to tick over, and that's what it's going to be.
Like, if only.
It. That easy, black and white, tick the box, done it. And now I'm like, oh, fuck. Yeah, I know what she means. Because it is like asking you to pull parts of yourself forward and to be witnessed in ways that you have never been witnessed before, and to hold yourself through that as you hold others and walk alongside others. It is.
And you know what? It's like, it shouldn't, and it can't, but it also shouldn't be any other way. And I think that is what I'm reminding myself of again and again, when I do think like, I wish it was just like, you know, posting a link on Instagram stories, people buying, and that's it, and I can fuck off and, you know, enjoy my day. That's obviously not how it goes. There's so much heart and soul into it. And I think that us moving through this so authentically and raw, and, you know, we show up as we are and we move through the motions alongside everybody we guide, or everybody we invite onto our journey. That is exactly how it should be, because, you know, we're all in process. And I think that connecting authentically is the only way. I think if I'm expecting, quote unquote, expecting my clients or people I work with to show up vulnerably and share their heart so I can, you know, kind of dive into things intuitively, then it would be strange if I was, you know, kind of plain sailing and happy go lucky and all rainbows and butterflies. Like, it's not, that's not real life. And I think that actually everything in real life, everything that happens in our life, is there so we can, you know, choose to go deeper into spirituality, so we can choose to go deeper into ourselves. It reminds me of, I went to Bali once, and even though parts of it were amazing, parts were also very triggering, because I found so many people there, in my opinion, right? That's just my opinion, but I found so many people there being quite out of touch with reality. You know, I'm from the Netherlands, we're Calvinists, we're so down to earth. We're so down to earth up until the point that it annoys me, because obviously I also have very much like spiritual beliefs, right? I'm very much in between, but still, like, you couldn't kick the down to earthness out of me if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that approach to spirituality has served me so deeply because it means that I come, you know, at things authentically, and I come at things being like, well, you know, not everything can be positive all the time. Life gets to be shit at some point, but where can spirituality meet you then? Rather than expecting yourself, like, I'm getting on my spiritual journey, I'm getting on my empowerment journey, and everything's going to be great and easy from now on. Actually, it's usually quite the opposite, but can that be medicine?
Absolutely. Yes. Can that be medicine? We're not able to get to the place we want to get to, or to, you know, I don't know how I feel about the word ascend, but we're not able to grow spiritually by being in our comfort zone, by being in the light. It is only through the darkness that the light comes, isn't it? And yeah, as you said about your experience in Bali, and I spent some time living in Bali, and I really hear your experience. And I now live in Glastonbury, which is like Bali, but the weather's a lot more shit.
Yes.
But this level of kind of, I guess some people would refer to it as like this feminine energy, this feminine fluid, kind of floaty, kind of sometimes airy energy. And I'm triple Taurus, so I'm like, fucking get me on the earth.
Oh, wow. I'm on the earth.
You know what I mean? So it's really interesting to witness that. And it's kind of this merging between both worlds of, you know, one foot in each world of that groundedness, but then also allowing yourself to ascend or to grow and expand whilst you're rooted in the earth, rather than coming up and out and then going, well, how do I get back down, or vice versa? You know, it's that balance all the time. And yeah, I just love how you've explained it. And I wondered if you wanted to, or if you could share a little bit more about, I guess, the wild woman within, like, as you mentioned before, because I feel like when you speak of the wild woman within, it's like this grounded, embodied energy to then allow everything to flow through. And she is the ultimate holder of the balance in my eyes.
Totally. Yes. I love that, actually. I first came across sort of the idea of archetypes and wild woman in that same year that I started the Spiritual Feminist. And rather than me thinking like, oh, this is such a new concept, like, what do I do with it? It was more of like a remembering. And I think that so many women, so many people, actually, no matter how you identify, but so many people, you know, leaning into their feminine, experience it the same way, where even like it's the same as the author of Women Who Run With the Wolves, Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who, oh my gosh, it's my Bible. Like, I have such a ratty copy of the book, but I love it. Like, I wouldn't change it for the world. It's like the energy that book, you know, just radiates. Anyway, so she says in that book, she writes like, you know, no matter your cultural background, no matter your class background, no matter what, women will understand the words wild and woman intuitively. You understand for yourself, you know, I don't need to necessarily explain to you what it has to mean for you, but you understand those words intuitively for yourself, what they mean. And, you know, for me, it was super clear immediately what they meant. Maybe that's more of an unpicking and uncovering journey for somebody else. And I think that that's fair. That's so personal to each and every one of us. But for me, it was actually, you know, that when I came across Wild Woman, so many things fell into place. I started to see so many red threads of my journey and being like, oh, I experienced that because of this. Oh, you know, I'm experiencing this in my body because I experienced that when I was 4. I'm like, so many things came together. I think that Wild Woman really showed me the way to that embodiment, to like, you know, I can feel so many sparks of fire in me. I can feel so many sparks of anxiety within me. I can feel so many, like, everything in between. Where did it come from? What do they mean? Which one do I follow? Which one do I don't? She shows me the way. So I know that for some, wild woman can feel really maybe vague. I don't know. I'm interested to hear from your listeners who are like immediately clicking with this word and who are like, well, what is it then? Like, explain it to me, you know, because our mind wants something to hold on to. Well, first and foremost, go read the book, or actually I have created so much content around that as well. So if you want to connect deeper, you can head over to my podcast. But I would say, you know, wild woman is an archetype in general, they describe certain energies that we can either lean into, embody, or find in ourselves, right? Just a really sort of simple explanation. You can go so much deeper into that, but that's how I lean into them. So when we see wild woman energy, we can trust that that energy is already there within us. We just need to find sort of the way back to her, back to that raw wild self. Whenever I work with clients, we often dive deeper into the inner child, and I ask or do practices around, but I often ask, like, when was the last time that your inner wild girl could play? Because usually, you know, around the time we have to go to school, so let's say age 4 to 5, depending on where you live, that's kind of when we start to be overly domesticated, right? We shouldn't be too loud. We shouldn't be too playful. We shouldn't be this. We shouldn't be that. Blah, blah, blah. Fill in the blank, right?
Yeah, we get restrictions on expression. Yeah,
exactly. We should like do a certain way. We should have this type of energy for this, you know, many hours. And like, you know, that trickles into from school to work to 9 to 5 to all of these things. So it's all of these like overly domesticated things that society put on us that then suppress this inner wild girl slash, you know, as you grow up, growing into your wild woman. Mm-hmm. So I often ask women that I work with, like, journey back to that time. Like, how was she? How did she feel? And sometimes we cannot even connect to that because we don't really have conscious memory of her. And then, you know, I dive deeper and we just journey to the feeling and journey to like the visual of wild woman. Like, what does she wear? What does your inner wild woman wear? How does she act? How does she dance?
Yeah, how does her energy show up? What is it like to be in her presence?
And then I'm like, well, if you can feel into that, then that means that she's already within you because you're just awakening this. And of course, I'm oversimplifying this explanation, this journey right now, but still, like, I think when we go back to the belief that wild woman is already there within us and we can start to unlock pieces of her, we really start to unlock that fire and that power and that like dreamy just essence of who we are. And usually that means that you know, release so many conditionings that our patriarchal and capitalist society has put on you, especially as a woman or as a member of, you know, a marginalized community or anything like that, where you just notice like, hey, the way that I am and that raw, authentic powerhouse that I am, she is actually not really supposed to, you know, take up space in the world that, you know, we grow up in. And that is your wild woman. And that's where the medicine and the magic resides.
Just feeling into that. I love that so much. And I just get this sense of like this reigniting, this reawakening, this remembering the actual tangible essence that's already inside of us that has been taught to, that we've been taught to ignore, suppress, not express.
Yes.
And it's like this sense of coming home to that and allowing her to come through. And yeah, it feels so beautiful when you talk about it.
I could talk about it for hours, as you can already probably kind of sense, but to like make it even more tangible or intangible, depending on how you look at it, wild woman basically is our intuition. And I know that intuition can also be such a vague term, but again, you understand, you know, when you drop into your body and when you realize that your mind is not just the only thing that can guide you and that can speak your truth and that can really do, you know, your mind's a great tool. It's just not a great leader. And once you start to realize that and drop into your body and let her, your body and your soul, take over and create this new type of truth, like, that is wild woman.
Yeah.
For me, my wild woman is my intuition. And whenever I feel out of touch with my intuition, because honestly, that happens all the time. Like, don't think I've got this completely, you know, done and under control, because we never, and we shouldn't want to. But whenever I'm like, oh gosh, what is my mind saying? What is my intuition saying? I just don't know. It's like, what would my wild woman do?
Yes.
Stop.
Like, and that's such a powerful question, a powerful shift. And yeah, it's so interesting to hear your explanation of wild woman. I guess, as you said, it's so different for everyone. When I think of my wild woman, I see myself with menstrual blood on my face in the woods, yes, like with wild hair and very like ancestral, very like wise and primal and wild and so grounded in her truth and sexually empowered and, you know, all of these different things. And I guess, yeah, as you said, the archetype is so different for everyone. And mm-hmm. that is the beauty. Like, we are all so different and everyone has this ability to access the wild woman within them that is different in every single form, which yeah. is just how powerful is that. And imagine, you know, it's kind of like what we said, you can't make it through to the light without going through the darkness or the sticky parts. Mm-hmm. And actually the journey back to the wild woman is sticky. We haven't been taught to be with her. We haven't been taught to express her. It is this journey of, you know, working through all the stories and emotions and potentially pain or traumas that are attached. But when you get there, when you start accessing her, everything in your life starts coming into alignment and slotting into place. And we, every single person, every listener now, if you're listening to this, you have access to this part of you.
Totally. No matter how far away she feels.
No matter last time you checked in with her, when you last met her, she's within you waiting.
Yeah.
Ready.
Exactly. And this is actually something I want to add to that. When you said, like, you know, that darkness, it's sticky. I totally agree. And the thing is, you know, one of the main reasons we tend to avoid that darkness, that sort of deeper healing, you know, meeting your emotions, meeting you at your raw, you know, level, is because just look at folklore tales, just look at fairy tales that we've been taught. Like, the woods where Wild Woman resides, they're scary. You either get eaten or you get lost or you die or, you know, something happens in those deep, dark woods.
Like monsters in there. Yeah,
exactly. So even then it's like, oh, wait, but the darkness and the woods and the wildness is scary and should be avoided. Whereas actually that's just a myth to keep you from your inner fire, mm-hmm. from that inner magic. Right. And as soon as you realize that, and as soon as you start to show yourself, hey, I'm actually safe healing this, I'm actually safe moving through this. Oh, then what happens?
Oh,
that's the sacred rebellion that I often talk about. Yeah. Like, let's go against what's being expected of us. You know, let's actually go and heal ourselves and see the ripple effects that bring about.
Yes. I hope to that. And, you know, I mean, I could start going on a rant about this, but I'm just going to touch on it. But like what you said about that, the folklore and the being told, you know, this myth of, oh no, it's dangerous in there, or, you know, she's dirty. Menstruation is dirty. Soil and mud yes. is dirty. It's shameful to be in your sexual expression. It's shameful to allow yourself to take up space, or you're not worthy of having that space taken up within you. And actually, you know, with folklore, with myth, children's stories, Disney films, the media, the newspapers, the magazines, the diet culture, the cosmetic industry, all of these things keep us where we are now, which for the majority of us, and the majority of us, is not in our fucking wild woman power, which is actually our fucking divine right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, amen, sister. But yeah, totally. And I think that, you know, for such a long time, I had been a product of that society. Absolutely. You know, when you just said, like, you know, not being in your full expression and feeling shamed and feeling exiled and feeling blocked in so many ways and not understanding what my body was telling me, even though it was like screaming at me and things like that, just such a disembodied experience of life. That has been my reality as well. And I think when Wild Woman came into my life, like, there were a couple of years prior to that where I already started this, like, embodying of her, I suppose, without knowing, you know, what it was, which is why it clicked so deeply when I did come across her as, you know, that archetype, that label. But there, before that, so many years spent in a disembodied experience, in a disconnected experience, and in a state of a lot of fear and distrust in myself and what I was, you know, here to experience and dream about. And yeah, there's been a lot there. So I think that Wild Woman, if anything, gave me so much strength to heal and to go into. She was like beckoning me to go into the woods even deeper and deeper. And she was like, well, you know, I got you, like, I'll keep you safe. And for that, I think that is actually why, now that I think about it, like I'm literally thinking out loud here, but I think that's why my connection to her is so deep and so filled with love, because she has shown me a different way. She has shown me a different option than what I was living before. And she was like, actually, you know, you get to feel like that. You get to feel fucking fire, fucking awesome. And that's like, that is also your option, rather than feeling like, you know, discontent and anxious and all of these feelings that I was feeling before for various reasons. So I owe a lot to her, and I'm here because of her, you know, speaking to you. So yeah, I'm very passionate about it, as you can tell.
Yeah, I feel that passion and I mirror it as well. And I really feel it, and honoring your wild woman and you for showing up and meeting her. And I think it's so important what you've said as well in sharing that. So thank you that, you know, sharing your truth that, you know, you have been in that place. And from my own experience as well, I've also been there and I'm still journeying through it. It's not just like one of them things that, you know, okay, I'm now awakened and I'm healed and I can take up space and there's no shame. And
if only,
but again, like, you know, it's all a journey, isn't it? It's all that journey that we need to go through to feel it on deeper levels. And, you know, we can't undo however many years in one session.
No, and thank God us for that, because I think that would be really intense.
How intense would that be? Yeah.
And I also think, you know, if anything, it's again part of that sacred rebellion that things can take time.
Mm-hmm.
I think in our society,
nature takes time. Everything is unfailing, isn't it? It's not okay, the flowers are here. It's like this. Oh, they're starting to, you know, they're starting to emerge.
There is a patience that is involved. There is a sacred sort of cycle that is involved. And I think that is necessary. I think in a world that is so focused on linear growth and rapid growth, you know, seeing all of these like people on TikTok being like 17 and making a shit ton of money, and I'm there being like, well, I'm almost 28 and what am I doing with my life? And it's like, wait, no. I know this complete sidetrack, but sometimes I'm like, have I missed a boat or anything? Like, you know, what am
I doing? I mean, you know, when you kind of know what you're doing, and then yesterday I was like, who am I? What's my business? What am I doing? And I was like to my mate, I'm vent a voice note to my mate, and I was like, what do I do? And then she replied being like, I don't know what I do either. She's a coach. And I was like, okay, at least we're not alone. It's like you go through these phases.
Yes, it's that cycle.
It's also part of it. And thank you. I'm really enjoying this conversation. And I wondered, I know that you've had a journey with your womb, your yoni, your pelvis. And I wondered if you would be open to sharing your experience, and if that was interconnected to your wild woman and to stepping into her energy, your journey of connecting to, your womb, so, your yoni.
Yeah, so deeply, but only in hindsight, which is so interesting. I really feel like when you're in the middle of, like I was in the middle of experiencing trauma as well as trying to heal. It was a very strange situation because I knew what was going on with me, but then I had at that time very limited access to resources and support. So I was trying to heal it, but then I was kind of adding to the trauma. So now looking back at it, so much of like my mental health struggles that I was experiencing at the time were such a big part of like my, you know, bodily struggles, if you will, but I really didn't put two and two together until only I started to embody my own like inner spiritual feminist, if you will. And I was like, wait, this is all connected to like my feminine energy, my empowerment, why I now feel so called to like call in sisters and actually create a sisterhood. I know so many people have so much like small T trauma around sisterhood, you know, the term itself. And I did too. So oh my gosh, at that point I was like, wait, this is all part of the reclamation. And you know what, that invited me to go deeper into my healing, which is beautiful. So to give you a little bit of a background story, I discovered I had a condition called vaginismus when I was, oh gosh, how old was I? It was early 20s. I think it maybe was when I was 20. And basically, if you're not familiar with it, vaginismus is when, depending on your experience and when it came into your life, I'll get into that in a second, but basically it means that you involuntarily tighten your pelvic floor muscles, meaning that you can experience pain or the inability to have penetrative sex, inability often to use tampons. And what it also meant for me, it meant both of those things. What it also meant for me is that, you know, sometimes, especially early 20s, when other people would have like headaches because they were tired, like I would have pelvic floor pain. I would have pain in those muscles as well, because there was just so much stress on those muscles. Now, there's kind of a distinction within vaginismus of having it lifelong, meaning there is no one moment in your life where you experience big T trauma where you maybe have, you know, instigated or, you know, started having vaginismus. And then there is that, you know, experience of maybe having certain experiences that have triggered it immediately. So meaning that you didn't have vaginismus before, and then, you know, all of a sudden you do because of big T trauma in your body. For me, it was lifelong because, you know, I've luckily never experienced big T trauma like that. However, you know, coming onto this spiritual journey, but also before, you know, before I would go to a doctor or a GP and they were like, well, did you maybe ever have, you know, a bladder infection? I was like, well, as a baby, I had so many, and I had to go to the hospital so many times and had so many like examinations and things like that. So I was like, oh, well, that makes sense then, because, you know, there was so much like, you know, attention to that space in very unfamiliar surroundings that I probably, you know, started training this muscle to like tighten up from, you know, when I was, I don't know, maybe one or two or up until four. However, on my spiritual journey, I was actually really called to go deeper. And with a energy practitioner, we actually went into, well, why did you then have, you know, so many bladder infections as a child or a baby? Because was there, you know, previous trauma there? And we actually really dived into, you know, past lives and whether that is your jam or not. You know, for me, it was so healing to really dive into this, because we really went into this past life of being a woman, unable to speak her truth. And through various like healers, through various different sessions of various healers, like stories like this kept trickling back to me. So it wasn't just this one person who was like, you know, you probably were a witch in a past life, which you hear a lot about. And, you know, I really love to reclaim that. And I think that there's a truth in that, but I think there's also maybe, you know, a bit of popularity around sort of that image of reclaiming. Side note. However, various different practitioners came back to me being like, well, there's a past life of you being a woman and just being unable to finish, you know, what you came here to do, and unable to really share your medicine and being silenced. And, you know, one of these practitioners that I ended up working with where it was like, I see you in like this small, like almost like a cage or something that you were locked up in. And like, I was like, okay, well, I know enough, right? There's trauma, whether that was in a past life, like direct trauma on my womb space, my yoni, my sacral area, or maybe indirect in terms of, you know, just being so suppressed as a woman. Mm-hmm. Either way, there was trauma that I then took with me into this life. And I was so meant to reclaim that in this life.
Yeah.
Enter the spiritual feminist, right? but yeah, so anyway, when I first started healing my vaginismus, I, like I said, I had limited access to resources. Thank goodness for, you know, social media now. But back then, you know, there weren't any Instagram accounts about this. There weren't any podcasts about this. Like, not that I know of anyway.
So you, when you got diagnosed with vaginismus, it was, had you already started your spiritual journey?
No. No. So this was early 20s, and I was in a relationship that didn't serve me. And I was just in a space where I felt like, basically, you know, at first I was happy if you can say it like that. I was relieved with the diagnosis because it meant that I understood what was going on with my body, because at that point I had never heard of vaginismus. I know that it's also not something that people often talk about, even though so many women experience this. So there was a sense of relief, right? Of like, oh yes, there is something wrong with me, but at least now I can pinpoint what it is.
Yes. And hopefully then get help from that place. I know that's how I used to feel about diagnosis as well. It's like, well, I'm not weird. There is something actually happening.
And I think because after that, I went to a pelvic floor physiotherapist, but she was not the right fit for me. Mm-hmm. But I was in this disembodied, you know, phase of my life, if you will. I was in this disembodied like part, and I just thought like, well, I need to, you know, go to this PT. I need to do this. I need to do that. And the more I felt like I needed to do this, I needed to do that, the more shame around, you know, all of it started to build. The more shame started to build around my femininity. I didn't feel woman enough for myself, for my partner at the time. I didn't feel like, you know, I could do my bit, quote unquote. And that then trickled into my mental health as well, because looking back, you know, I can 100% pinpoint that at almost the exact same time as I had that diagnosis and I started to realize what was going on, I also started to get my first panic attacks, which later turned into, you know, anxiety disorder and all of these things that many of us struggle with. They ran parallel, but I never put two and two together until I started to come on my spiritual journey and started to see the whole picture. Like the holistic picture of like, oh, anxiety is an embodied experience. Vaginismus is an embodied experience, or, you know, kind of a disembodied experience, if you will, because, you know, these vaginismus is basically, I mean, it is in most ways treatable because it's your muscles, right? And you can train your muscles. It's not an easy journey. And I'm not there yet. I'm definitely not there yet. I haven't gotten to where I want to yet. But the mental and emotional part I have overcome because I started to see all of these things were interconnected, and I started to see my body again as this vessel that I could work with rather than something that was working against me. But to get to that point, oh my goodness, it was years of building on shame, on building on silencing, on building on feeling so disconnected from my body that at some point, you know, my sex drive was gone. I felt immediately triggered if, you know, anyone got too close to me. Like it affected so much of my whole life, actually, and the way that I was moving in life. And in the end, I did get amazing physical therapy, which helped me a lot. But at that time, you know, I was single. My relationship ended and I was single again. And I think that was an experience I had to go through on my own, like physical therapy, like positive experiences of physical therapy and really rebuilding the relationship with myself by myself. And it was around that time that amazing physical therapist told me, like, have you ever tried yoga? You know, maybe you can get into that. Have you ever tried meditation? And I was kind of dipping my toes in it a little bit already because, you know, I had a bit of an eat, pray, love moment of like, quitting my relationship. And like, I didn't know why, like, that's a whole nother story, but it's kind of part of it because I didn't know why I had to leave that relationship, but like something kept like tugging at me being like, you need to get out, which was difficult because we were already sharing like a house and like a bank account. And I was like, no, my mind was like, no, that's not practical. Like you cannot do that.
Wow.
You're building a life together. And then afterwards, you know, I was like, wait, that was my intuition. And then I kind of started to research what that was and like why I felt that nudge. So then, you know, yoga came on my path, meditation came on my path, all of these energy healing came on my path, all these holistic things. And I started through PT, through that sort of whole experience, you know, trying to heal my vaginismus, I started to connect so deeply to my body again. I was like, wait, I'm unlocking something here that I've been blocking for my whole life. And especially the years of my vaginismus diagnosis, you know, putting so much shame on it, something started to open up. And again, it's that coming back to that Walt woman of like, oh, wait, that fire was never gone. It was just, you know, it was just smothered, but that fire was never gone. And then slowly but surely, layer for layer, started to peel that away. And now I'm at a place where I can talk about it, but I'm also still always will be peeling away, uncovering, and meeting my fire, you know, deeper and deeper and deeper. Like I said, I'm still not where I want to be in terms of healing my vaginismus, but I can honestly say since then I've come off of birth control. I have deeply reconnected to my menstrual cycle, and I'm just in such a better place of connecting physically, emotionally, spiritually to my womb space, to my yoni, and really, really living life from that empowered place rather than smothering it. Yeah. That was a lot.
Really, no, thank you so much for sharing that and just celebrating you so much for going on that journey, because through, you know, being told, okay, this is diagnosis and you're going to have this forever, you know, or you could have this for life. It's very daunting and very upsetting, I imagine, at that time.
Yes, I remember watching a Dutch documentary on it at the time. One of the few resources that was out there on this. And they follow in that documentary, they followed a couple of women / couples who were going through this. And the conclusion of so many of those couples at the end of the documentary was like, well, you know, I haven't healed from it yet. It's not worked yet. Everything that we've tried, and we've just kind of given up on this part of our intimacy. And, you know, we're happy, but we're kind of given up. And I remember watching that and thinking like, no, like, I don't want that to be my option. And I'm not saying like everything in life is about penetrative sex, but it was like the whole energy and shame I had around, you know, and the pain as well, the physical pain of my vaginismus and everything that came with that diagnosis. I was like, I don't want that to be my story.
Yeah.
I don't want to just kind of give up and surrender into something that gives me pain and that gives me the shame. And that was a moment, that was quite a pivotal moment, actually, now that I think back about that, because I was still in the middle of, you know, also acquiring all of that trauma and feeling all that shame. But I remember, and it must have been my wild woman, now that I think back about it, like, I haven't thought about that for so long, but now that I think about that, it must have been my wild woman being like, you know, trust me, there is another option and it's going to come.
Yes.
Interesting. Oh, thank you for that insight.
Oh, I love that you just had that download. So beautiful. And it really, really feels when you explain that to me, like this, you know, the symptom and the experience you were having was really like a signal. No, come inward, come back to your body. You're far away from your body, so come back. And this is the signal you needed to pull you back. And, you know, we're so taught, I speak about this quite a lot, about how the pain or discomfort, what we perceive to be pain or discomfort that we experience, is actually the body's way of communicating and going, no, come home. I want you to hear me.
Please. Oh my gosh. Yes. Sorry to interrupt, but that has just made me think of something. So when I first started...
Tell me.
I know you'll love this. When I first started with that great physical therapist, she wasn't officially a physical therapist, actually. It was a different type of therapy, specifically focused on vaginismus. It was kind of an experimental therapy from the hospital in the city I used to live in, which was great because it helped so much. Mm-hmm. And you got to remember, like, before with my PT that really wasn't a great fit, like, she would help me train my pelvic muscles, but I think in that process she really crossed a lot of boundaries that I didn't know how to express, and it just really wasn't helping, bottom line. But I really acquired a lot of like additional like stress in my body, and like, you know, not having that great, empowering, trusting experience, but quite the opposite. So when I first started a really intensive training with this PT therapist kind of person that was positive, like the first 10 minutes of like a 2-hour session in which you're going to reconnect to your pelvic floor muscles, and really for the first time, honestly, opening up a session with me feeling that rather than somebody else checking in with my pelvic floor. I'm sure that everybody has the visual by now, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The first 10 minutes of me in that safe little, it was a very like small sort of, still quite hospital, but you know, whatever, she did her best by lighting a candle and things like that. But,
like recreating the womb space of safety
a little bit, but still like in a hospital, very clinical, right? You're in that sort of chair and like whatever, but anyway, she set that safe space for me, and we didn't need a lot apparently for that to happen. In the first 10 minutes of me starting that session, of me connecting to my pelvic floor, of me feeling those muscles, my body honestly told me so clearly, like, here I am. I'm so glad we're finally doing this together instead of us working against each other. And she sighed a sigh of relief. She was like, I'm so happy that we're finally doing this together. Yes. Honestly, that, oh my gosh, if the therapy would have only been those first 10 minutes, which it was an incredibly insane, intense time. And I share a little bit more about that on my own podcast. But yeah, if it was only those first 10 minutes, I would have been happy, because it showed me like, oh, this is not a fight against myself. This is a collaboration, and yeah, my body is here telling me things, and she has a voice, and now I'm going to listen. And the level of safety that comes from that, I cannot express that. And with vaginismus, you got to understand, like, you just start, well, at least in my experience, right? But you start to really distrust your body, and you really start to think like, but why do I feel so unsafe? And then, you know, all of that frustration doesn't really do anything other than make it worse. So to feel a level of safety almost instantly by just connecting to my body, creating the time, the space, the attention for it, it blew me away. So that just really reminded me of that. And I really, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I did love that. You know me so well. So beautiful to hear that journey and that moment when your body's like, oh, you're actually hearing me.
Yeah.
You're actually here to witness me. And just wanted to say about that first PT that you worked with, that you had that negative experience with, I think it's something we can see quite a lot, or I hear of quite a lot, in that, okay, it's all about the physical, you're having this physical experience, we're going to physically look at it, and yep, it's like, well, what about the emotional side of it, the energetic side? What if there's, you know, past life or previous trauma passed from mother or father, from their experience with their pelvis? Or, you know, it's not a holistic route. It's which unfortunately we see so much in the medical world today, especially in birth and things like that. It's,
yeah,
or even with polycystic ovaries and other, you know, endometriosis and things that women experience around their womb space and their vagina and that beautiful area. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, we'll have this tablet do this, and this is going to fix it. And it's, yeah, like, well, what about the individuality of the person, their own experience, and that crossing of boundaries? Like, where's the permission? I will never put my moon cup into my yoni until I have asked her fucking permission.
Yeah.
I will never self-pleasure until I've asked her permission. Can I enter you now? And sometimes she's like, nah. And then I'm like, okay, what does it need to be a yes? Or if it's a no, okay, I honor that.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's a little bit frustrating. Like, if I'm like, day two of my bleeds and I'm heavy bleeding, I'll always free bleed day one, but day two I'm heavy bleeding, I'm about to go out and do something, I'm like, can I put this moon cup? And she's like, nah. And I'm like, fuck's sake, right, get the nappies out, come on. You know, it's like, but honoring that and respecting her boundaries, and yeah, because when you do that and open up that communication, it creates that trust. And we've been so taught to distrust our bodies, and that it's separate, and that these things are happening to us, but what if they're all happening for us?
Yeah. And And now I like to believe, as frustrating as this condition can still be, because it can, for some women, it can be an instant sort of switch and, you know, it's like the gates open up and all of a sudden you don't have vaginismus anymore. For me, no. This has been, you know, 20 plus years in the making. So I don't, again, you know, it takes time. Yeah. So it can be frustrating, but right now, the reframe is so empowering, thinking like, hey, there's a reason I have this vaginismus. There's a reason that, for me, this is really empowering, right? I'm not saying it can be empowering for everyone to be like, oh, there's a reason for everything. I don't find that empowering all the time either. But for me, vaginismus, you know, directly and indirectly brought me onto this path of spiritual feminism, of connecting with so many like-minded sisters, of feeling excitement and happiness on a level that I've never allowed myself to feel before, because I live intuitively now, because, you know, my wild woman is there. So I truly believe that all of this baggage, this physical, emotional baggage that I brought into this life with me, I'm now supposed to heal that in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, that reframe is really empowering. And it took a lot, and it still takes a lot, to keep reframing that, especially when I'm in pain or, you know, I want things one way and my body tells me different, exactly like you say. Like, it can be frustrating, but I'll always return to the fact that my body has a voice too. And that I discovered that back. Isn't it funny that I had to discover that back in that hospital room, and, like, you know, not a holistic setting at all, but at the same time, it was for me in that way. Yeah. And I,
well, it sounds like she brought the holistic in.
She kind of did
as well. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, that whether it was one candle, whether it was a tea light, whether she just fucking held a lighter up, that little moment of being like, no, this is just a little bit something for you to create safety. Yeah. That is the fuck it. Put a pin in that.
Yeah, that is, exactly.
That is the point where.
And it's interesting because the type of therapy that I did, it was more designed towards couples, because for the woman, or for the person, you know, with the yoni, with the womb space, it is such an intense therapy that they kind of need the partner to be there for emotional support, not even like anything physical, but like emotional support. I was freshly single at the time because the wait list was so long. And then I got, you know, the call of like, we have space for you. And I was like, well, that's great. I don't have a partner anymore. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you know what, if you still want to go and do it, then make sure your emotional support system is in place. But I think that we can do it, but we've never done it with just a single person before. Mm-hmm. Again, I had to go through that like that. I had to connect with myself with that. I had to connect to my feminine without the male gaze there, if you will. And I know that goes so much deeper. You know, I won't get too sidetracked, but like, I had to do that for me. Mm-hmm. And from that place, you know, I could invite in the masculine again, whether that was in myself or with a partner, you know. So it was such a wild time. And I never at that point, like I said, I only started dipping my toe into more spiritual practices and more holistic practices. But that moment of like my body sighing with relief and being like, finally, you see me. That was pivotal for everything that happened after that, whether that was with my vaginismus, with my womb journey, or, you know, more sort of mental stuff of choosing to quit my 9-to-5 and, you know, stepping out of that matrix and things like that. So there was so much, there's so many layers to that, but I definitely now can also be, for the majority of the time, grateful for that journey, even though it brought me so much pain. Like, I now can transform it into my medicine, and hopefully also at points like medicine for other people.
Absolutely. And it's almost like the experience, some of the listeners have probably had, like, so many people have experiences in their body, mm-hmm. might not be vaginismus, but I know I've had an experience that was different with having like somatic trauma in my body that was really trauma trying to come out, but coming out in the physical. It's like, I don't know if this resonates with you, but like, the experience or the diagnosis or the pain or the whatever we're experiencing is this gateway to us to the wild woman, to us stepping into our power, and the fact that we experience it still, or the fact that you said, you know, you shared you do experience it still, and you're still on that journey, and I am too with my journey. It comes and it goes. It's like, actually, it's just taking us to deeper layers and asking us to hold ourselves at each layer and creating inner strength and trust, so that, you know, we can ascend embodied rather than you know, coming up into the ether in Bali and Glastonbury, wherever you are. It's like, well, what if we can have that experience whilst in our body, rather than having to go out of our body to go somewhere else? Like, our body is our medicine, constantly communicating with us. And our pain gives, or our pain or discomfort is this opportunity to birth our medicine.
Yeah. So true, because my whole journey with vaginismus, with, like I said, anxiety and deep mental health struggles that ran parallel with that, and just this whole questioning of, you know, how woman am I, how feminine am I, and am I good enough, am I worthy enough? And we can all resonate with that in our own way. That whole phase brought me, like, my journey with my body and with my mind, and, you know, obviously then also with my heart, brought me to this place where I am stepping into the feminine every day, and where I am choosing this empowered life, and where I am healing, and where I am, you know, sharing that with whoever wants to listen. And hopefully that will make, you know, ripples. So it's so true. Like, the body is the gateway and the body is the journey. And it's not something that we're shown. It's not something that we're taught, but moving from a disembodied to an embodied experience is such an empowering thing for yourself to do. And I just keep visualizing those dark woods and knowing that even if you can't see, you know, even if you can't see it, you can just go into it and trust that you are exactly on the path. Like, you're exactly carving out that path that you're meant to be on. And then get into, like, the deepest, darkest woods. And then you're like, wild woman is there or something. I don't know. It's just a strong visual of, like, even with your eyes closed, you'll get there.
We've both got our eyes closed now.
I just have to see it. I was like, even with my eyes closed, I can see it. I can feel it.
Feel it. Yeah. And it's giving me shivers, you saying that. Oh. Mm. And so I would love to ask you one last question. If you had one piece of advice that you have learned that has been, like, the deep rooted advice that you needed to hear all them years ago, you could give that to others right now, what piece of advice would you share?
I feel like I should have thought about this, but maybe not, right? Maybe let my heart speak.
That's why I didn't pre-warn you.
No, that's good. That's good. I like that. What's coming up for me now is, you get to choose your truth with a capital T. You get to rewrite your story. You get to decide who you are, how you're moving in the world, what you're doing, what you're dreaming about, what you're actually manifesting, what you're bringing in. I think that so much is imposed on us that we don't even realize. So next time you make a decision, next time you think a thought about yourself that isn't necessarily helpful, next time you're in a situation where you're like, how did I end up here? Ask yourself, like, is, like, what amount of this is actually true to me? Like, is this actually my truth? Can I, you know, see it in any different way? Can I see myself as being worthy of a different type of life, a different type of truth? Can I carve my own path? Things like that. So you get to rewrite your story. You get to decide what labels you, what identifies you, and you get to choose your truth, I think, is coming through to me now.
Just letting that settle. You get to choose your truth. Fuck yes.
Yes. So good. Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you so much. I've absolutely loved this conversation. I feel really lit up.
Don't you feel like we should have our own, like, combined podcast? Because we could talk for hours.
Literally, I'm here for it. Tell me when, I'm here. So good. So before we head off, would you mind sharing with the listeners where they can find you if they want to work with you, want to hear your podcasts? yeah, please share where we can go deeper.
Many ways at this point. So you can find me on Instagram, which is kind of where I'm at all the time. That is at the Spiritual Femme, F-E-M at the end, because the Spiritual Feminist was already taken. But anyway, we'll deal with it. My website, thespiritualfeminist.com. And if you ever just want to, if you're old school and you would like to, you know, just write an email, amazing. hello@thespiritualfeminist.com. Easy. My podcast, The Spiritual Feminist, it's all kind of under that same umbrella. So you can find that anywhere you listen to your podcast, as well as on my website. And I've got three very exciting things that you can kind of join in to come into my space if you want to. So first and foremost, I am kind of scared, but incredibly excited to be hosting my first ever in-person retreat this year.
Yes, I saw this in Portugal.
Such a leap, but so exciting. I was like, I just want to meet up with people physically again. I just want to hug people. Yes.
Which is my love language. I'm all like, if I could pay someone to just touch me all day, I'd be like living my best life. Yes,
yeah, I guess that's why you do what you do. But yeah, we'll talk about that another time. Yeah. But yes, retreat in Portugal, still mind, wild heart, basically everything that we talked about today, right? Finding relaxation, but also finding sisterhood, finding that wild woman within, finding space to actually listen to your intuition. It's going to be a really safe and exciting space with some guest workshops, as well as just, you know, round the clock space holding by me. So that is the 7th until the 11th of September of 2022 this year. You can check it out at thespiritualfeminist.com/retreat, or just send me a message about it if you want all the details. Really excited about that. Mentoring, you know, intuitive mentoring and energy healing. I combine this to hold space for people, for women specifically, all over the world. So if you're like, I want some one-on-one time with you to dive deeper into my wild woman, into my energy, into my intuition, then I can definitely be your mentor, your guide alongside that. That again is also my website, or just pop me a message. And then there's something new coming up. I don't know when you're going to be releasing this podcast episode, but I'm currently like in the middle of creating and almost birthing Inner Alchemy, which is going to be this journey where I'm going to give you basically everything that I have learned, tested, and tried when it comes to energy healing for yourself, holistic healing, going into those dark woods, right? And meeting your wild woman, but really just deeply, deeply intuitive. And it's going to be a really cool sisterhood journey. So I'm thinking of launching that in March, April. So keep an eye out for that.
Spring, yeah. Baby. That sounds beautiful.
Yes.
So many delicious ways to work with you. Thank you so much.
So many.
And I'm obviously going to go and have a look at the retreat now as well. I will put all the details in the show notes if you're feeling called to work with Lynette. All the details will be there and you can go and find her. Yes. In all of the places.
And also just, you know, you don't even need to like, I mean, obviously it'd be amazing if you want to work with me, but you don't even need to, just send me a message telling me that maybe, you know, telling me your thoughts of my story, and maybe you have any thoughts on that or any thoughts on how your journey connects to mine. My DMs are honestly always open. I say this all the time, but I know how hard it is to take up that space where you're like, no one's waiting for my story. I am. So send me a message.
I love it. Thank you so much. It's been beautiful chatting. Lots of love. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Way of the Womb podcast. If this episode resonated with you, and if you enjoyed this episode, please take a screenshot and share this on your social media. Tag me at Beck Wallace Birthkeeper and drop me a message. Let me know how you found it. And if you feel called, please feel free to leave a review. It just helps other people to find the podcast so that we can build community and gather together. Thanks so much. Sending all the love.